Good afternoon, I'm Leo Brown. Happy to be with you. Leo Brown, Almost Hour. Culture, current events, our Catholic faith, 50 minutes every afternoon. That is what we do. We will be talking this afternoon to Father Thomas Loya of TaborLife.org. That's over on my Facebook page. You want to visit his page, you'll see exactly what he's got going on. All of his many things dealing with theology of the body, you will find it there, TaborLife.org. Also, later in the show, I want to get to this. By the way, we'll be talking about, as it continues to be news and continues to gain steam, the whole bathroom controversy. We'll discuss that with Father Thomas Loya coming up in a moment. But disturbing post here from USA Today that I saw earlier. And in the world of tweets and posts, we think that there's this degree of anonymity, therefore we can say whatever we please and just kind of unleash our frustrations and anger on individuals. And an interesting experiment here was with female sports writers who apparently just get constantly harassed on their Twitter feeds and their Facebook pages and things of this nature from male sports fans saying the most egregious things imaginable about them. We're going to get into that a little bit later on as well. All of that and more. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown, Almost Hour, back after this.
Redbox Media invites you to bless the yes. Your designated parish, school, club, or nonprofit will receive 50% of all revenue from the sponsorships. To find out more about Bless the Yes, visit redboxmedia.com.
Good afternoon, we're back. I'm Leo Brown. Happy to be with you. Leo Brown, Almost Hour. Culture, current events, our Catholic faith, 50 minutes every afternoon. Hopefully connecting with Father Thomas Loya. I think we're having a little bit of difficulty there, which, imagine that. It seems to be what happens, unfortunately. But ideally, we'll get to him here in a moment. I know one of the topics that he wanted to discuss this afternoon was this bathroom bill legislation and the interesting dynamics that have come from this. One of those I have seen because it was emailed to me by a listener. Thank you so much. And also I've seen it posted over on Facebook was a popular conservative blogger, Matt Walsh, with his letter to the Target store company, basically saying, thank you for your open-mindedness, your willingness in doing what you're doing when it comes to the bathroom policy that you have adopted nationwide. Anyone who feels inclined to use whatever bathroom they wish can and may do so. And then he says, he proceeds in the letter to say, this is good news because I hope you accept my identification as a spider monkey because I will be doing my business anywhere about the store, perhaps in the parking lot, on parked vehicles, or maybe in aisle 12, I think he says. So I know that there's a logical conclusion or illogical conclusion you can get to in these sort of situations. So what happens when you take this to the ultimate extreme? And this is, you got to kind of do this. You kind of got to go down this route in order to find what will happen, how it can happen, what the results may be. There's undoubted logic there, right? That you say, well, are we veering so far off course that we've got an ultimate problem eventually that maybe this would be it? I mean, maybe this would be it. As crazy as it may sound, if someone says, well, I identify with an animal, animals go as they please, where they please, then what do? Then do you enact legislation that says, okay, those who identify as animals then must wear adult diapers in public? You know, I mean, where do you go with this? So my solution, as I have said from the beginning, and as I will say, our studios are representative of this. There are three bathrooms in our facilities, all of which are unisex, all of which are single occupancy. That's how you handle it. Now, I know that's major reconstruction, that's major remodeling, or is it, right? Or is it? Because could you simply say, well, we'll just build a wall here from the floor to ceiling, and anywhere anyone would possibly be seen is completely sealed away. There's no chance of what seems to have happened in some of these cases where there's cameras being used in over stalls or under and this and that, whatever. Wall it up, seal it up. And I've shared this before, but Schiphol Airport, getting off the plane the first time I ever landed in Europe in the Netherlands, which the Netherlands, my goodness, right? This is the land of liberal extremism, where there literally are, and I saw this in the Netherlands, urinals on the street. Yes, they are there. Where you walk right up into a little kind of cubby of sorts where you're completely covered and no one can see what you're doing. And when you do this, as you do this, you are out in public, but it's still private, right? And they're not there for women, so I think there's a little bit of an unfortunate dynamic there for women who would want to find this facility as readily accessible as it is for men, but they are there. And it's very bizarre, very, very bizarre to be, and essentially the coverage is from, you know, upper waist down. So it's not a full coverage. You're not completely hidden back here. You're just kind of looking around at passerbyers and friends you may happen to be with in your group and anyone else, and you're doing your business. Very bizarre. Very bizarre. Yes. However, compare that to inside the airport when you land, and it's literally floor-to-ceiling walls and doors that are floor-to-ceiling and that shut and lock and seal away you inside your stall. So every bathroom stall is completely private. And again, I don't know where we got our notions. It's the craziest thing in the world why we think that there's something normal about using a quote-unquote public bathroom facility. And yeah, I went to college where there were no doors at all on the stall. None. Zero privacy if somebody's walking up and down the area there in front of the stalls, and a shower facility with no privacy at all either. Why is this okay? And the thing I always said that, well, if somebody was same-sex attracted, well, here's the perfect opportunity. Because nobody's talking about that. What do we do with that? I mean, there could be men who happen to have attraction toward men who may enjoy that environment, perhaps. And same is true for women who find themselves attracted to women. Now, I don't know. I don't know the dynamic in a women's room necessarily. I do know this. I've shared this story before. I walked probably for almost a mile into a women's facility in a mall before I realized I was in a women's room. And I was there with the entire family. We're just trying to find the bathrooms. And we're walking through corridor after corridor of, like, couches and these areas where women are just sitting around and mirrors and very comfortable seating and posh sort of looking things. And I'm like, there are no men back here. What is this? Then I realized all the strange looks that I was getting there with my wife and kids was because I was actually in the women's room, which does not resemble a bathroom at all. at least not what I'm used to. As a man, we have certain things that kind of look a certain way that are very bathroom-like. We don't have luxurious, comfortable seating and places just to rest. I guess that's where the name comes from. It's from the women's room, because you could literally go and take a nap back there and hang out for, I don't know, a couple of days, perhaps, and enjoy yourself in the comfort and luxury that is a quote-unquote true restroom. But no, we don't have this. We don't have this as men. But in all this controversy, I think it really should bring us to a bigger picture. And I know I make light of it, and I kind of am somewhat sarcastic, of course, and flippant about this, but why do we do this? This would be a non-issue if we simply said, here's the deal. These are all private. They're just all private. There's no distinction. Do we have distinctions in our homes? Do we have bathrooms that are, yeah, maybe. If you have multiple bathrooms in your home, there's the bathroom that the boys use, and you send them there because you don't want to have to deal with their messiness. Maybe. But this is not normal. It's not something that we, again, as a culture, I don't know where we got it. And I don't know where else you find this. Maybe there are other European areas where they have a similar ethic, but it certainly makes sense to me. And all of this would go away. Not that I'm saying just go away and get over it, which is kind of the report we talked about with Kasich essentially saying, hey, you know, don't. And it was kind of spun, of course, in an unfavorable fashion. But that's not what we're talking about. Simply saying, give everybody the privacy they need, the privacy they deserve, and maybe things will be different. Who knows? Got word that we will not be talking to Father Loya this afternoon. Unfortunately, something's come up. He's not able to be with us. But you can certainly find his website, taberlife.org, over at my Facebook page. And from there, you could find the links to many things that he talks about on this issue, theology of the body, what it means, what it looks like. And that's good stuff to embrace and understand, as always, as he brings very challenging teaching into accessibility, and that's good stuff. So again, taberlife.org, you can find out more over there. It looks like Chick-fil-A is doing the socially responsible thing, and it's not political. Those who have problems with Chick-fil-A, which I've shared this before, I lost friends simply by doing a check-in at Chick-fil-A when I thought, if this is all it takes, I need to check in here every day, right? This is on Facebook, I lost friends, right? So apparently the chocolate chunk cookie could be peanuts contaminated, and they've made a recall of those in their restaurants. And that's serious business, as we know, anaphylactic reactions to that, and doing the right thing by taking care of that. Not just the removal of the carrot raisin salad because it wasn't a big seller, which I've had to learn how to make a good carrot raisin salad, or at least a decent. I don't think anything could compare to the Chick-fil-A carrot raisin salad. I don't know what it was, some special magical ingredient that made it so wonderfully beautiful to me, and hated apparently by every other patron except for me. That's the reason why it's gone. But not quite the same dynamic with the chocolate chunk cookie. Hopefully it will be back and peanut free very soon. More to come back in a moment. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown Almost Hour, back after this.
Redbox Media invites you to Bless the Yes. Your designated parish, school, club, or nonprofit will receive 50% of all revenue from the sponsorships. To find out more about Bless the Yes, visit redboxmedia.com.
Good afternoon. We're back. I'm Leo Brown. Happy to be with you. Leo Brown, Almost Hour. Culture, Current Events, Our Catholic Faith, 50 minutes every afternoon. primary time continuing and some interesting things as we move forward here. Could we see a delegate count that says there's more certainty as far as who the nominee certainly will be on the GOP side? I think that's the big question. We'll get into that in just a moment. Candidate aims for pot legalization in 2017 is the USA Today headline. And this kind of seems to be the growing trend, right? The movement toward more legalization, less criminalization of this substance. And I had the craziest dream ever last night. I don't know why I had this dream. I'll have, you know, as a former smoker of both tobacco and marijuana, I'll have bizarre dreams that I've fallen back into this habit. It's the strangest thing when it happens, even though it's been 25 plus years, maybe close to 30 for either of them. It's bizarre, and it's to this day I just have these crazy nightmares, and I don't know what it was, but it was not only that, but I was smoking in a building where smoking was not allowed. Like, I remember that I was being even more sneakily about what I was doing, so nobody would find out, in this office building with smoke detectors and all of this. I was still trying to sneak a smoke. Very bizarro. I don't know. And apparently what I was doing is that I had marijuana hidden in a cigarette, which the cigarette was prohibited anyway, but I had marijuana in the cigarette that looked like a regular cigarette, and I was trying to smoke this in this office building. This is the crazy way my head works, right? That's what I dream about. Very, very bizarre. So as we continue to dwindle down here on this election cycle, it looks like some things get more and more interesting all the time. I posted this over on my Facebook page. Breitbart is reporting that Sanders leads Trump by 11 points, even though it's a neck and neck with Hillary Clinton. And this is one of those... We've talked about this before, and it's so interesting to see this political modeling as far as how they poll and they decide this, because you would think that certainly Clinton has this totally tied up as far as the Democratic side of this, Democrat side of this, I should say, as the nominee for the DNC, and yet she is kind of head-to-head with Trump in this, and then here's a guy that doesn't look like he's bound for the nomination who is way out ahead, at least in these polls. So it's really hard to say who's going to end up at the polls on election day, right? We don't know. That always, it's voter turnout is who the voters are. There are some that say the cards are stacked anyway when it comes to those who actually come out for these events. But the interesting thing is the way they modeled this. Now, I've said all along, I'll continue to say this until I'm proven otherwise, that we might see four individuals on this ballot who all have a chance, a solid chance of getting somewhere. And I think that could be even if Trump gets the nomination for the GOP. And the reason why I say that is because the GOP it's coming apart at the seams. I think we've seen that. I think we could say the same for the Democrat Party. Now, some will say, well, there's a little bit more of a cohesiveness within the party, and maybe there are those who would get behind Clinton and simply say we're going to push on through in order to have this cohesiveness. But there is such animosity on the right, there is such a division, that right now we could see just about anything happen, right? We could see a contested convention if we get to the point of not having that delegate count in the bag for Trump by the time we get to the convention. And even if we do, it would not be surprising if there was someone with the audacity to say we're going to stand for true conservatism, which isn't what they see Trump doing, and we're going to run a candidate anyway. Now, as I've said many times, the only way that works is if we got four. And if because of the confidence from things of this nature, where Sanders would say, well, I could win this thing anyway because of the polling numbers and because of the fact that it has been so close. And in some cases, he's flat out won, right? He's beaten the front runner here in a number of primaries and caucuses. So it's such an interesting world at this point as far as who is going to get this, on which side, who's got the nomination, and then what happens even after that. I don't know. I mean, I've tried to think, have I just not paid attention, right? As for some reason, have I not necessarily seen something like this happen before when it was happening? And I can't recall that. It seems like usually we've got a pretty set front runner. We know where things are going, and it's something that we can predict a little bit more than where we are now. Speaking of predictions, I think we predicted it from the beginning when it comes to this Amoris Laetitia document from our Holy Father, Pope Francis, that there were haters of what this was going to present even before it was presented. And I haven't necessarily seen substantiation of the claims. I did receive an email with a link to a blog post, which I would need to, again, I think you know, I've said this many times, I don't trust sources unless I see both sides of a source essentially saying the same thing. Now, I see two sides saying different things, right? I see the conservative and the liberal side having different problems with Amoris Laetitia. I haven't seen the same problems necessarily. There are those who say, well, on the left, well, this didn't go far enough. It didn't open the door completely to same-sex unions being embraced by the church. This progressive pope is not the progressive we thought he was. And then there are those on the right side who say, well, this went too far because now we got even more confusion. And if I hear that one more time, it makes me so it angers me. I gotta admit, I'm tired. I'm so tired of it, of hearing about the confusion. Because if you read this, and that's a question, my question always is, when somebody gives me that, have you read what he wrote, or are you just reading what other people are saying? Because other people are saying it's confusing, but I read him and it's as clear as day. Why is that? Why, when I read what he says, it makes sense. Now, when I see what people pick out and they choose to say, well, this is confusing. Well, sure it is. Yeah, that's all you've got. But you didn't put this in context. You don't have the complete document in front of you, which all 250 some odd pages, however much it is in this document, are cohesive, right? They build on one another and they all connect to one another. And it begins at the very beginning saying, this is not magisterial teaching. We're just looking to distill these 2 years of synod attention on the family in a way that we can begin to unpack this. That gives us the opportunity then to exalt the beauty of the family and of matrimony. That's what this is about. But for whatever reason, there are those, I guess, who just assume, well, if the Pope wrote it, he must be trying to speak ex cathedra, and we don't understand what he's saying. Therefore, this guy's an anti-Pope. That's kind of the conclusions. That's the logic that happens frequently. Oh, well, I don't know. He seems unclear to me. I don't get what he's trying to say. Didn't define that perfectly. Anti-Pope. Where does that come from, right? How do we draw that conclusion? And you may think I'm being hyperbolic, but I'm not. There are those who do that. They just arrive at that conclusion immediately. So my question is, first, did you read it? When you read it and you found this confusion, first off, did you realize that a lot of that world where he's talking about gray area and real need for pastoral approach and to see the things that are not necessarily black and white, do you realize he's quoting a doctor of the church and a highly celebrated Saint Thomas Aquinas? Do you realize that? Does that bear any weight in what you're saying? Do you realize a huge part of the document is building upon the work of Saint John Paul II, Pope Benedict XVI? He quotes even Pope Pius XI and Blessed Paul VI in this. Do you realize this, or does that matter to you? But it's amazing that this is the prevailing attitude I hear from so many. Right, it's just confusing. Just confusing. I don't trust him. Well, he's had 3 years to derail things, and it hasn't happened yet. More to come. We'll be back in a moment. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown, Almost Hour. Back after this.
Redbox Media invites you to Bless the Yes. Your designated parish, school, club, or nonprofit will receive 50% of all revenue from the sponsorships. To find out more about Bless the Yes, visit redboxmedia.com.
Good afternoon. We're back. I'm Leo Brown. Happy to be with you. Leo Brown, Almost Hour. Culture, current events, our Catholic faith. Been seeing these images going around on Facebook, which just beautiful to see. Our Holy Father, Pope Francis, out in St. Peter's Square with these just confessional booths set up, if you want to call them. Unfair way of explaining what it is. It's just chairs, right? And I've seen this at many a youth event where priests and even bishops, sometimes cardinals I've seen at World Youth Days, where there's just a field or a parking lot or a designated area with chairs side by side, distant enough apart where no one's going to necessarily hear what you're saying, but an opportunity to get there and get the confession. And this is happening. Well, it did happen, and we see these photos and our Holy Father with just the beautiful humility of a pastor to sit there and hear confessions like that. And I think that's beautiful, and what a great example. He also says that when it comes to happiness, there is not an app for that, right? So we got to find a way to allow grace to bring us to that understanding. It's not about how do we fabricate this? How do we find a way to make this happen? It's simply, can we allow the grace of God to transform us and to find that place, right? That's what it takes. Happiness certainly seems to be in a short supply, especially when it comes to those who want to comment on certain apparently sports blogs. And I posted this over on my Facebook page, USA Today, had this initially, and it's about 4 minutes of video, which is a long time in the world of internet video these days, but it's it goes very quickly as you watch what happens. And these are, and I'm not a sports person, so I don't know Julie DeCaro or Sarah Spain, but apparently they're prominent sports writers, and they get treated in a very misogynistic, really is the only way that it could be explained, fashion when it comes to the terrible things that are said about them and the things that the men apparently, with the distance of a tweet, feel like they can say. And so what they did is this experiment, the women, the sports writers, knew their material as far as how it had been addressed, the responses that they had to the things that they had written. And then unwitting individuals, men, who had no idea what these texts, what these posts and tweets said, were then instructed to just read these to them face to face. And these were not the men who said it. Right, these were just men. But I think what it did is create this bizarre environment. First off, some of the men, well, I would say most of them, well, I would say all of them in this experiment, all of them were uncomfortable to some degree. There seemed to be something about saying the things that they were asked to say which made them very uncomfortable. This was not a... not something that was easy for them to do, to say the things that were said in frustration. Now, some of them that were more tame that I could actually repeat were things like, I hope you, one of the hockey players that you write about, I hope someone beats you with a hockey stick to death. I mean, this was something that was said. And as terrible as that is, that wish upon someone because they happen to write something in a sports column that you don't agree with, it got even worse when it came to some of the specific language and name calling and the things that these men read that had been written by men, not them, to these sports writers. Again, the full video is over at my Facebook page, Leo C. Brown. So we know that there's this boldness in anonymity, that we think because of the distance we can say whatever we want, we can behave however we wish, we can be as nasty and as unfiltered as we want to be, and that's dangerous. But then to go as far as to allow this streak of misogyny just to seem commonplace, as if this is, it's just okay to say these things. It's just okay to make these type of to use this type of language. And I don't care who you're talking to. A little bit of common decency would say, maybe we don't do that. And at least it's refreshing in this video to see that there are some men who have a very difficult time. Some who obviously are like, do I really need, can I, do I have to say this? And some who are just frankly appalled at the fact that this is even coming out of their mouth to a woman sitting across from them reading what has been said. Now, I happen to believe that we're not in any worse case of a situation than we've ever been culturally, societally, humanistically, whatever you want to say, however you want to divide it up and categorize it. We are who we are as people since we were first created. We've had the human condition and the human tendency to be just nasty. But the question of character comes into mind. You know, we talk about character being the things that we do when no one is looking, kind of thing, right? And you would think that, well, before you post something out there, with at least your online identification on there, you might want to think twice, because people are looking, they are seeing what you're doing. But again, to get back to this idea of character that says there is a way we handle things, a way that we do things, an attitude that we have toward things that should have a degree of consistency, and that consistency needs to be rooted in decency, and that decency is linked to the fact that we have dignity and others have dignity. That's really all you need to, that's the equation. And if you can take the moment and stop and go, okay, do I really need to respond this way? because it's going to live out there forever. Should I maybe consider the feelings of others? Do I want to be talked to this way? Would I appreciate someone saying these things about me? That's a great measuring rod. It's the golden rule, right? We should do unto others as we would have them do unto us. And the flip side of that is don't do unto others the things you do not want to have done to you. Maybe we forget about that part. But it's so horribly disturbing to see this being presented face to face with these writers who, again, they knew what was said. They've read their posts. They know what it's about. But I've seen this. I've seen this in political speak on Twitter with certain individuals who take a stand on what they believe politically, and the opposition coming back with just horrendous, ridiculous, demeaning is not strong enough. And it's certainly not the case with this as well. It's worth watching. It's very eye-opening. And as tough as it is to sit through, I encourage you to see it because, my goodness. This I found from a friend of mine, and I wasn't even aware of this phenomenon in the wild. But I think it's very interesting because they're talking about wolves and what wolves do to the ecosystem. And this is a video talking about the wolves that were reintroduced in I think it's Yellowstone. Don't hold me to that. That's what comes to mind. But a national park where wolves had been gone, and then the deer were just overeating and destroying the vegetation. So they put the wolves in there, and it wasn't just that the wolves ate the deer, which maybe they did, but it just changed the habits of all of these other creatures who normally had never had predators, right? And how it gets down to even discovering that the rivers are different because of the wolves that were introduced into this environment. And you think about this, you think about, do we allow a real fear of something that could be devastating to us and our eternities and our souls, do we allow that to affect the way we behave, or do we behave as though there's nothing to worry about? And there's really nothing to worry about if we embrace grace and we participate on that level of trust. But what if we just behave as if nothing matters? Like grazing deer, eating away all the vegetation with no threat from a predator. I think there's an interesting analogy here. And if you watch this, it's a beautiful documentary. And it really shows this connectedness. And of course, I take this back to Laudato Si, and we talk about ecology and an ecosystem when we understand that there's something about humanity in that ecosystem, in that ecology, the human ecology. And I think there are some amazing parallels here that we can obviously talk more about another time because we're out of time. Thank you for listening. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown, Almost Hour. God bless you.
Redbox Media invites you to Bless the Yes. Your designated parish, school, club, or nonprofit will receive 50% of all revenue from the sponsorships. To find out more about Bless the Yes, visit redboxmedia.com.